You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball.
Season 4, episode 2 of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything basketball. You can smell it in the air, Woodsy. David Woods is my guest. Butler basketball is right around the corner. Good to have you here, of course, as usual. I don't know what to think this year. There's a lot of question marks. You know, last year, the squad, new coach, but you knew you had Tyler Wideman coming back. You knew you had Keelan Martin and Kamar Baldwin. You figured you had talent. You'd be one of the top teams in the Big East. This year, a bit more of a question mark.
Yeah, very much so. I really got a kick out of the Ken Pomeroy projections, and his stuff, of course, is always very interesting. And in his preseason projections, I think he has Butler ranked 31st nationally. But what was more interesting to me, his projected Big East standings had, I believe Villanova at 14-4 and DePaul at 6-12. And the eight other teams were from
10-8 or 8-10. So that
shows you how compressed it is. And I know people, critics of college basketball, like to say, well, the regular season is boring, it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. But I have just never found that to be so, Ari, because with the as compressed as the Big East is, every regular season game is going to matter. And the difference between 7-11, say, and 11-7 in the Big East is very small.
So I know you don't do predictions for records and such, but do you think that's an accurate representation where it is going to be that congested, or there's not going to be like a we knew in the past Villanova was going to be the standout team. I'm not sure they're going to be the dominant team this year. You know, they lost a ton of talent. Is there a clear-cut team, or is it really going to be congested, do you think?
You know, I think it'll be congested, but it really kind of has been. I mean, even last year, and a lot of people don't remember that Xavier won the regular season.
Yeah, how'd they do in the tournament?
Not Villanova. They went out early.
That's right. That's all that matters.
But after Villanova and Xavier last year, it was very compressed. I mean, Butler was really, tied for 6th and 7th with Marquette at 9-9. Now, Butler, you know, perhaps should have been 11-7. And interestingly, at the end of the season, even with the 21-14 record, the Pomeroy rankings for Butler were number 20th. I think largely because Butler was 1-4 against, you know, two of the top five teams in the country, which would be Villanova and Purdue. And, you know, most schools didn't play
that many times
against teams that good. So that did influence the record. And then Butler came very close to knocking off Purdue, which I think clearly had probably a better team than Butler, but Butler almost got back to the
speaking of randomly
anyway.
Of Purdue, I was going downstairs to pick you up to do this podcast, and who was in the lobby?
Coach Matt Painter.
That's right.
There.
We should have invited him on the show.
So he's in the house. I don't know what he's doing here.
I don't know.
Boilermaker things of some
maybe
kind.
Dockich is doing something with him. I don't know. We should have asked him. I didn't even think about that. So returning for the Bulldogs, possibly the best player in the Big East, possibly one of the best players in the country, although you wouldn't know it from the national media, Kamar Baldwin, come back for the Bulldogs. He's been so under the radar nationally this year. I've seen a lot of preseason polls where he is not even considered. I know CBS had him ranked like 30th overall, but this is a guy who I thought would be a preseason All-American candidate, and I haven't even seen a whiff of that.
Well, I'll tease to the Indianapolis Star at IndyStar.com on that. I've got a story coming out on that that exact topic later this week.
Oh.
But, the thing that's interesting, and it's sort of a theme of college basketball in general, is Butler's experience, which really does, compared to its peers, have a lot of experience. Not that many teams have six players coming back who average 15 or more minutes a game as Butler does. You know, that's a little bit unusual now in modern college basketball, especially in the power leagues. Now, is that experience enough to override, you know, other teams, you know, perceived advantage in talent? Not that Butler does not have talent, but for instance, I kind of expect Sean McDermott to be Butler's number two scorer.
You're a wise man.
After Baldwin. But, you know, if Sean McDermott, you know, is your second best player. What does that say about Butler? Does that say anything? Does that just say, well, you know, McDermott's improved that much? And Butler has a really, I think, a potentially great player in Kamar Baldwin, and then a lot of really good players. But I don't think probably any of them are all Big East first or second team candidates. So, you know, will that be good enough? I'm not saying it won't be. In fact, one Butler insider assured me, says, well, Butler's had successful seasons with a lot less talent than what it features this year, and I think that's fair. But on the other hand, you know, that was
maybe who was coaching that team
back in the Horizon League days? Yeah, with the best coach in the sport, and not in the Big East. You know, with a coach who's in his second year at Butler.
So we were talking about that behind Kamar Baldwin. You've got Paul Jorgensen, Sean McDermott, Nate Fowler, Aaron Thompson, Henry Badley, Jordan Tucker for the second semester, maybe Christian David. I mean, who's the guy? Like, you mentioned Sean McDermott. Is there someone else that, like, has the potential to be that number two scorer that Kamar Baldwin was last year?
I suppose Nate Fowler could be second on the team in scoring, although I still think it's going to be McDermott. The only slight early season question to me is, if you think Jordan Tucker is going to maybe take over as a starting forward, you know, eventually on into January, do you go with a you know, conventional center, two guards, two wings to start, or do you go with what Butler did a lot last year when McDermott was out? They have a center, a wing, and then three guards. So do you want to start the season with Paul Jorgensen starting, which actually was a pretty good lineup last year? Maybe it's what I do, or do you want to put someone else in that spot so it may be easier to move Tucker in later and bring Jorgensen off the bench, who is very good off the bench. I mean, he's a good starting player too, but he's one of those guys who really does bring, you know, scoring and spark off the bench and is good at it. A lot of guys are not good at it.
The question you mentioned Nate Fowler and which lineups to go with. I think the big man play is going to be a huge problem this year. I think Tyler Wideman last year cleaned up a lot of junk that goes unnoticed. And Nate Fowler, I love Nate Fowler, but he is horrible at defense. And Joey Brunk has shown nothing. I mean, he couldn't even get on the floor last year, and they kind of recruited over him. That is a huge concern for me, that if Nate Fowler can't play defense, which was a huge issue his first 3 years here, we really don't have maybe if Bryce Golden or Hastings can come in and play some big minutes. That seems like an issue to me.
Well, I don't know if defense is as much the issue is rebounding, because I think Butler could be good in transition, but obviously you have to get the ball fast first before you can get out fast. And I'd say they can't rebound with that three guard alignment, because I think there really could be games this year when Baldwin leads the team in points, rebounds, and assists.
Well, yeah, and McDermott's a great rebounder too.
Yeah, he is slender, but you know, he's a good jumper and he's very clever and he's got a nose for the ball. He made, you know, his offensive tip in save the day at Georgetown, mm-hmm. and his late tip in against Purdue in the tournament, you know, almost allowed Butler to come back and upset Purdue, and probably would have if Vince Edwards hadn't made a really terrific play from behind in blocking a Baldwin layup late in that game, or we very well could be talking about a team that's has back-to-back Sweet 16s. And Butler is only one of four programs in the country, excuse me, one of eight programs in the country that's won a game in each of the last four NCAA tournaments.
And with three different coaches.
If they can, Butler's had, if someone, my story earlier this week about sort of feats of Butler basketball you didn't know about or never knew, I mean, six different coaches have taken Butler to the NCAA tournament in the 2000s. Which is an absurd statistic, exceeded perhaps only by the fact that only once since 19. Let's see, when was Tony Hinkle hired? I think so. Only once since 1922 has Butler hired a coach who was either not a former Butler player or not already on the staff, and that was. That was Joe Sexton. So anyway, Butler's basically gone a century with you have to be in the Butler family to be hired as a head coach there. But I digress. I think the rebounding is important. And this team, I think, will need to defend, because I don't know they can just go out, have enough firepower to outscore a bunch of teams. Now, the strength of their defense, of course, is that those long-armed guards of Baldwin and Thompson, and sometimes that's effective enough to bother the post. If you can't get it into the post because the guards can't do it, that's as effective as having really good post defense. But that definitely is something to watch, and I think we'll see good things out of Brunk this year too. If Joey and Fowler together can be as effective as Weidman and Fowler were together, I mean,
there's
be
no
in great shape.
Listen, I've said this before. First of all, Joey Brunk almost transferred. Okay, that is a fact. You can mark that down in your article. I know that for a fact. Joey Brunk, we needed a third big last year. We only played him in, eight games, and that was because we literally had to. The two other guys fouled out. They would not have gone after Bryce Enzi, Bryce Golden, recruited John Michael Malloy, if they had faith in Joey Brunk. He's been here 3 years now. I mean, at this point, we know what he is.
Well, no, he has three. He potentially has 100 college basketball games ahead of him.
And he hasn't done anything with the first 100.
His rebounds per minute.
Yes, I know he's amazing at that. But there are other parts of the game.
Was very good. I just have to wait and see. Brunk is very fit. Very fit this year. Worked really hard in the offseason, and I think he'll be an adequate backup center.
No, I've bet money on this. The staff has shown they have no faith in him. They've recruited over him, and they threw him a bone last year getting him in games, and he didn't perform in any game last year. And he could rebound with the best of them, I agree, but his footwork and his assignments on defense, it ain't there yet. Long way to go.
Yeah, I think it pays not to discount or overreact too early to post players. They just take longer than other players, and I think we'll see something out of Joey Brunk this year.
We'll see. All right. So, have you got a chance to see the team play at all, practice at all this year?
No, I only saw the one practice, and we're not really allowed to watch practices. And with my workload in our newsroom, I wouldn't have had much time to watch practices.
So
anyway.
I saw you wrote an article about Marquise Hastings the other day, freshman this year. In your article, it kind of made it. First of all, I hated that you compared him to Gordon Hayward. I hated that.
Well, his story has some parallels to it. He's not Gordon Hayward.
I had to go on the record and say that you were such a tease. That's one of the guys we got. Marquise Hastings. We have Bryce Golden. Am I missing? We have another freshman, don't we?
Well, and Enzi's a newcomer.
But yeah, but he's not playing this year.
Just those two.
Just those two. Are we going to see anything from them this year? I haven't really. I've heard Golden has kind of been hurt in the offseason a little bit.
Yeah, Golden had offseason shoulder surgery. I believe it was May 31st, and was not full go. He may be full go now, but hasn't been. So I almost wonder if it gets to a point where they would even consider redshirting him if he's not going to play very much. So I don't think we'll see. I don't think they'll get a lot out of Golden this year. I could be
because
wrong.
Of that surgery.
Because of the delayed start.
That's an idea.
And also, they're already. They have their center and their backup center already set in my mind, and Hastings, I think, because he can do lots of things, is a versatile defender, he's really good rebounder for any size, much less 6'7". I think can probably defend both the interior and the wing. So I think he's as LaValle Jordan has pointed out, he's not like any other player that they have. So I would think as the season progresses, we might see more of Marquise Hastings. I don't think he's much of a shooter, but I think back into to Willie Beasley. When Willie mm-hmm. Beasley was a freshman, he wasn't asked to do that much other than kind of go in and defend, and he was effective in that role, and his game grew throughout the four seasons. And plus, Willie Beasley was 6'3", and Marquise Hastings is 6'7".
Yeah, I mean that. It's one of those things you always like to see the freshmen come in and contribute right away. We've had some success recently. Aaron Thompson got, a lot of times a true freshman. Kamar got a lot of times a true freshman. So you're saying we're not really going to have an explosive freshman this year? I don't think so.
But I'd be happy to be proved wrong. And
me too.
And Hastings is an interesting player to watch. I think that's part of the fun if you're a Butler fan or a college basketball fan in general, is to. Watch how young players and teams develop over time.
You mentioned we mentioned Bryce Enzi, who decided to transfer to Butler several months ago. It was the middle of July, and you and I were talking about doing a podcast. It was right after, I think Khalif Battle committed, and I was like, yeah, we should just wait to see what else happens. And in that time, Bryce Golden committed, Khalif Battle, Bryce Enzi transferred. A really busy summer for Butler on the recruiting trail. For 2019 class is pretty much complete. What were your reactions to kind of picking up, getting Bryce Golden, stealing him away from Syracuse and Illinois, and then Khalif Battle picking up the Bulldogs?
Well, I wasn't sure what to think of Golden until I actually saw him in person, and he was like a lot taller,
he's big,
wider and thicker than I expected. And I get he and by all accounts he is pretty skilled. Hastings was like played here in Indianapolis was like MVP of some.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Wisconsin All-Star game. So I mean, I don't know how much he'll be able to contribute. But for all the
what do you think of the recruiting
wailing and gnashing of teeth about Butler? In the span of less than his first 12 months on the job, LaValle Jordan did get commitments from six people, which seems like a lot.
I'm with you, but I mean, here's my thing. It's really tough for me to see like Chris Holtmann at Ohio State getting like two five-star recruits. Four. I know it's a different atmosphere over there, but
it is, and I think part of the reason he'll be successful at Ohio State is he left Butler with a terrific staff and recruiting staff. I mean, his entire staff is good at recruiting, and Ohio State gets the benefit of that.
I mean, there was a kid who committed yesterday to Michigan, Zeb Jackson, who was about to commit to Butler, honestly, months ago, and then he backed out, and we ended up not getting him. I hate bitching about recruiting, but it's one of those things that like it seems like we go quiet for a while, we'll get something, and then it'll zero dark 30. I think that's just frustrating to Butler fans.
Well, recruiting is always a work in progress. I don't know that Butler's ever going to be able to recruit the top Indiana players. That's one thing that's been, I think, kind of interesting that has coincided with Butler's rise during the 2000s is it has basically done so with very few standout Indiana players and hardly any from the Indianapolis area. A couple, Gordon Hayward,
Kellen Dunham,
and then that's about it. I saw John Michael Malloy in high school last year, and I was actually favorably impressed.
I think he could become
a decently a skilled big guy, and rebounding tends to that's the thing. Six foot ten. Players aren't available everywhere, and I think it's been particularly difficult for Butler to attract those kind of people. So I would not give it up on John Michael Malloy. I mean,
I'm not giving up on him. I haven't been impressed.
He's certainly taller than Andrew Shrabish was, who was a more than serviceable player for the Bulldogs.
Agreed.
But it is kind of a weird thing. I don't know if Butler isn't sexy enough, isn't glitzy enough, if kids want to. Don't want to go to the hometown school, want to go farther away, but getting kids from the Indianapolis area has been something that Butler has not done, hardly ever.
Big thing recruiting. Butler just got that the West Gym is being renovated into a new practice facility.
Yeah,
which
arms race that will be attractive to some recruits. But again, Butler is never going to have the
$80 million
the Cook Fieldhouse like Indiana has or what Kentucky has.
I'll tell you this:
they're not going to have the hugest. So, if that's very important to you, then you probably shouldn't even consider Butler.
So I was playing the Mega Millions last night, trying to win the $1 billion, and I said, if I win, I will donate $300 million to Butler with the sole purpose, you name the Castle facility, and it's just the greatest basketball facility in the history of the world. They could have had that if I won. So I just wanted to put that out there to Butler that if I ever win the lottery, you guys are getting...
Butler already has the greatest basketball facility in the history of the
world.
Yeah,
well, I want like a glitzy glamour one with a private chef and like a room made of trampolines and stuff like that.
Okay, well, now you're drifting beyond basketball, Ari.
Woods, just let me dream here for a minute. All right, so announced today also, Big 12 and Big East are putting together a challenge.
Yeah, the Butler's non-conference, non-league schedules going forward, if people want to get on that story for more on IndyStar.com. I mean, look, they'll be locked into three different series, mm-hmm. you know, the Gavitt games against the Big Ten, this Big 12 series, Crossroads Classic. They've started home-and-home series with Mississippi and Florida. And, of course, they're in the Bahamas tournament mm-hmm. This year. And then next year they'll be in the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City. The four teams there, which means they would get, you know, two games in Hinkle leading up to that. And those other teams are Oklahoma, Missouri, and Stanford. So, I mean, in terms of strength of schedule, I mean, it's going to be a very, very difficult schedule. And I don't think so Notre Dame – or excuse me, Butler is going to need to schedule a few
– gimmies?
A few games that, you know, that they what you call bye games, mm-hmm. guaranteed games that they really should win. Otherwise, the schedule starts, I think, spinning into becoming too difficult.
So first exhibition game is this Sunday. You've been watching Butler for, what, 40 years now, it seems like?
No, only since 2001.
Yeah, right. You bleed Butler blue. So what is, you know, what are the early indications when you watch a Butler team that you're always looking for?
I usually look and see how connected they are on defense, mm-hmm. if that's going to be a strength or that's going to be a problem. Last year, I think it was really noticeable early in the season how clunky Butler's offense was. It was played very clunky at Maryland. Oh my gosh, the game against Texas was just awful.
Yes,
it was a little better against in their I can't remember the opponent in their next game after that, and really the upset of Ohio State was one of the most improbable I ever saw because they were
dead
behind so much,
oh, yeah.
so late in the game. It was really utterly implausible that they could pull that game, and that really did kind of, I think, propel them. You know, gave them some confidence, and you know, they shoot what month later that, you know, the ups they shot, you know, crazy 3-point percentage. What were they, 16 of 24 against Villanova,
yeah.
and then upset number one Villanova. But so I'll be, you know, I'll probably be looking at defensive connectedness, and I also kind of want to see how Aaron and Kamar, who are, I mean, and I think I consider Aaron Thompson the point guard, but they want the ball in Kamar's hands a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to look at that and kind of see how people play off him. And because the teams will be running that at Kamar a lot, but if he has enough shooters on the floor around him to punish opponents for doing that, then it'll work out. Because a lot is expected, I think, of Kamar this year. Mm-hmm. I think he'll deliver. I think the outcome of the season depends more on the rest of the players than it does on Kamar.
I don't know if I ever told you this. So you mentioned that the offense was a little sluggish last year at times during games. I'm not naming names, but a big issue with last year, a lot of guys on the team could not remember plays on offense. If you remember watching last year, we had to like go ISO ball a lot with Kamar Keelan. That was not by design. That was because guys could not remember plays. I was told that, you know, that was a big reason why. So it'll be interesting to see this year what the coaching staff is going to do with that offense, because clearly remembering plays was an issue last year, and it kind of, we were able to luck out because Keelan and Kamar were so damn good going one-on-one. I'm curious to see if the offense has adjusted this year, if it's changed, maybe more simplified.
Well, the a lot of players are back.
Mm-hmm.
The entire staff is back. Now, last year's team did have the benefit of playing that trip and those games in Spain, which I really do think that really did help them.
That was big.
Help them a lot going into the season. So, you know, the guys should know what they're doing more. I haven't seen him play, but I've also been hearing some good things about Gerald Gillen's Butler in practice. And that would be interesting if he's able to play more, because much like, you know, non-point guards like Andrew Shrabish and Roosevelt Jones, if they can play through Gerald Gillen's Butler, in addition to playing through the point guard, that will help Butler's offense quite a bit. And Butler does, I know they want to, you know, get out in transition and try to score easily and quickly, and they have the personnel to do that, but you have to defend and rebound before you can do that.
All right, I'm going to throw you, this is the last question that I can think of that I'm going to throw you. There's the guy this year who nobody's talking about that's going to step up the most. Who's that? Who's the guy this, is it, you know, whether it's Christian David, Gillens Butler, Brunk, one of the freshmen. Who is the guy that is we're going to be talking about midway through the season saying, where did this dude come from?
Sean McDermott.
I've been on the Sean McDermott bandwagon since he was in diapers. But you mean you may continue. Explain, like, what is your expectation? Because mine is like he'll average double-digit points a game, like 6 rebounds, and shoot 40% from 3. Like, what are you thinking?
Same.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sean McDermott to death. That is my guy. I've said this before. I think he'll end up being a better player than Kellen Dunham was by the time he graduates.
He is a more athletic player than Dunham. I don't know if he'll be quite the shooter, but he's pretty good. I went back and ran some stuff, and I'll have a huge profile on Sean McDermott coming
nice.
Out in early November before the season. His story, you know, might be the most extraordinary.
Well, yeah, he almost died.
I've ever reported about a Butler player, and there's even more to it than that.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Okay. So yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that later.
But McDermott averaged about 8.5 points a game over the last 13 games of last season, which is a decent sample size, and shot about 47% from three. And this is kind of like it was what maybe the number 4 option on the offense. So
probably
to
yeah.
average that many points a game as the number 4 option. So if you looked at McDermott's numbers from that, and then also has this is his games right before he hurt his ankle, 17 at Maryland, 17 against Furman, 11 against Texas.
Yeah.
And he really had a setback then and probably wasn't really, probably came back too early after that. So he is long and tall. I mean, I think he's grown even a couple inches
really?
Since high school. So he's a legit 6'7". Yeah, I know he's slender. You'd like him to have maybe a little bit more girth. I think back to Cameron Woods was like skinny forever. He was still an amazing rebounder. So I don't know if girth is everything. If you're athletic and you've got a good nose for the ball, but I do think Butler's rebounding is going to need to be collective. And we'll see. Maybe I'll be completely wrong about Kamar. Maybe Kamar's not as good as I think he could be. And maybe Sean McDermott is. Is not going to have the season. I think he will, but that's why we roll out the balls. I think it could be an interesting Butler team. Of all the Butler seasons, this one I have about as little clue ahead of time.
For real, I was thinking that too.
As they'll have, I think because there's ample reason to be optimistic because they do have so much experience, which is a real rarity now in modern college basketball. But is there enough talent? Is there enough defense? Is there enough size? I don't know.
I'm going to absolutely have to get you back here in the middle of the season. We'll have to discuss further. A pleasure as always, Mr. Woods. I know you never end up saying it, but I want to, I have to end on a IU sucks, go Dogs. Can I get you to whisper, go Dogs?
Go Ari.
That's not what I said, but good enough.